It's great to see you all, and I'm very happy to be back here at Intel. And today's topic is something that is universally applicable, because every one of us will find times during our life when we need to forgive. And I'm going to present some of the benefits of forgiving today, and also we can talk about some of the ways in which to forgive. So this is not a sentimental topic, but is actually one that is being scientifically studied. At Stanford, there's a department that studies forgiveness. There's a forgiveness project, rather, that a professor went deeply into from different points of view, even considering the economic impact. Maybe I'll start with that. He did a study at American Express and found that those who learned to forgive in the study groups that he was observing were much more productive financially. And there are many, many other aspects, but I bring this to our attention because this is something that's being studied quite minutely now, the idea of forgiveness and what it means to us and the productivity in our lives. So this is a quote that I like to keep in mind. Sometimes a simple quote like this that we can keep in our pocket and bring out when we need it can be very helpful in overcoming the kind of immediate anxieties that come into our minds and hearts. This is, forgiveness means giving up all hope for a better past. It sort of makes you think, doesn't it, for a second? That's, oh, what was I thinking? I was thinking of the past, but right now I'm in the present. And there's something I can do right now, but I can't really do anything about the past. So this is one of the chief techniques of mindfulness. It's really to be in the present. And forgiveness has to do with letting go. Letting go of things that tend to cling to me, or things that I tend to cling to. And just remembering that the past is the past. What can I do about it? It's beyond my circle of influence. And being in the present and acting now with what we have can be very centering, can't it? So here's a test that you can take for forgiveness. Would you like to take the forgiveness test? Are you ready? Okay. So forgiveness test, here's your looking at yourself in the mirror, a semblance of this. You can see a cheerful countenance. Here's somebody who just forgave. And here's somebody who did not forgive. So I'll run the test by you again. You forgave, you did not forgive. And actually, there is a visceral response. I have a friend who exclusively conducts workshops on forgiveness, sometimes for 3 days. And he says that when people come in on a Friday night, he notices that they're hunched over, they're feeling anxiety, they're thinking about the baggage that they're carrying with them, and they're a little somber. And by the end of Sunday, when they've gone through many exercises learning how to forgive, then they're joyful, they're talking animated and feeling happy. It's really a matter of unburdening oneself, this process of forgiveness. So today I'll talk about first how we're containers. This can be a very helpful concept to keep in mind with the idea of mindfulness and also with the idea of forgiveness. And then I'll talk a little bit about forgiveness myths and traps. And then finally, we'll go into the keys to forgiving. So we are containers. I want you to think of yourself now. Oftentimes, we don't think of ourselves. We just go about doing what we're doing in life. In fact, a friend asked me many years ago, which gave me pause, and I thought about this statement when she asked me, are you a human being or a human doing? There's a sense in which I can be so absorbed in my life situation and all the things that are going on around me that I don't really take time to look inside and see what's going on internally. Today's topic was forgiveness, healing from the inside out. But practically everything starts from the inside. All that I have in my life and all the ways that I interact with people have to do with what's inside me. So I want to bring your attention to something that you may not have thought of before. I like words. So when I see words, I like to look at them from different angles. So first of all, to bring this concept more to bear, ask you this question. If you squeeze an orange, what do you get? Orange juice. Why? It's a simple answer, because that's what's in there. That's right. So this is a commonly given example, but it's one to very important to remember. When we get squeezed, what comes out of us? We do get squeezed. There are various situations in our life where we feel that we're under pressure, and maybe it's coming from people, maybe it's circumstantial. Possible? Two people said yes, okay. Possible we can get squeezed. So this is about what comes out of us when we're squeezed, and we'll know what's in there. So what's inside? As we are containers, what are we holding inside us? So do I have resentment? Do I have anger inside me somewhere? Here's an interesting, as I promised you, I like to look at words. Look at the word resent. This is given as the antonym for forgiving or forgiveness, is to resent someone or something. So when I look at this, of course, the definition is to revisit an experience, an emotion, or sensation, to revisit it. So somewhere I'm keeping it inside me. I'm a little container, and I have that experience. I have that emotion, and then I keep visiting it again, let it come back. What it reminded me of when I first discovered this idea of resentment and how it's a revisiting of an emotion, I thought of how nowadays in modern technology there are algorithms so that when I click on something, for instance, I'm looking for a backpack, so I click on a backpack online. And then everywhere I look now, there's backpacks following me. You want this one? You want that one? Let's revisit it. And there's a kind of technology inside of us also, where I may enter into a certain kind of emotion or a circumstance that I interpret it in a certain way. And then it's resent. Now that's when I started looking at that word in relationship to revisiting and resent. We say resent, but you can also say resent. I keep sending it back into my awareness that, oh, this happened to me. This person did this to me and so forth. And again, I'm experiencing it. And this causes even more anxiety because I'm revisiting it again and again. So resentment is a real phenomena. It's something that we can observe and we can see. It's a loop of thoughts that we allow to live within us as containers. Or anger. This is another one that's related to the subject matter of forgiveness. I may become angry at someone. And let's look at anger a little bit, because it's a pretty common emotion, isn't it? Pretty common? Not here at Intel, but I mean other places. It's a strong feeling of displeasure or hostility. So again, thinking I'm a container, what do I contain? If I'm holding anger inside me, this is what it is. It's a strong feeling of displeasure or hostility. Is that what I want to keep inside? So resentment and anger misdirects our intention. It's a very disorienting kind of emotion. It's a very strong emotion, and we have anger. It can make us do things that we wish we didn't do. Possible? Yeah. Also, anger spills out to the wrong person oftentimes, right? I'm angry at one person, but you go home, you have a spouse, loved one, friend, and they say, how you doing? Fine! It's like, why are you yelling at me? I'm not grouchy. There's a way in which when we hold that anger in, we're that orange, we're getting squeezed, and that's what comes out. And it may come out to the people we love the most. In fact, there's a saying that we only harm those that we love. We feel free somehow to offer those strong senses of anger and resentment and towards them. So if it's inside, that's something that will come out, and it'll hit the wrong person eventually. And then anger also blows things out of proportion. The next day, often, like if I'm angry, let's say if you write an email, I always recommend if you feel the slightest tinge of anger when you're writing it, don't send it, whatever you do. Because the next day it's inevitable, isn't it? You'll wake up and you'll look and you say, oh, what was I thinking? It's not so bad. Or you might even get more information. It's like, oh no, he didn't do it. Right? But if you sent it, then it's too late. So anger blows things out of proportion. So be careful. Don't let it out. And here's my favorite of all with anger. It has no positive effect. So as rational beings, we can look at this and say, it doesn't do anything for me. And we can really discriminate. We can say, do I want it within me as a container? Do I want to carry anger in my heart, in my mind, anywhere? And if not, let it go. So when I'm dealing with resentment, this is another one of those statements that you can keep with you and remember that resentment is like drinking a glass of poison and waiting for your enemies to die. So this is something that we hold within us. It's not something that actually affects the other person or even changes them necessarily. So the idea of forgiveness really is a gift that we give to ourselves. And this is something very important to remember. This is towards our own edification, becoming bigger people, giving more room and not carrying around within us those things that are detrimental to our health and to our productivity. It's one of the greatest gifts that we can give ourselves is to leave that envy, let it go. So here are some of the findings. I mentioned that Stanford University has been studying forgiveness, and there are other studies, multiple studies around the world that are showing similar results. And these may be very intuitive to all of us, but it's worth mentioning what the benefits are from forgiving. Letting certain kinds of wrongs that people have done to us go. Boost the immune system. First one, reduces stress. There's a great cause of stress carrying around that resentment or anger towards other people. I see some of you nodding, smiling. You can relate to this. It can be very stressful, right? So it's a choice. It's our choice to keep it or not keep it. It's also when we forgive, it's proven that it boosts the immune system. We actually become healthier beings physically, what to speak of mentally. It also brings positive energy, great release of positive energy, so much so that we become more productive in all the areas of our life. We're easier to get along with. We can listen better. And it fosters a longer life when we're not under that kind of pressure. Carrying around the resentments or the angers that have accumulated within our hearts. And finally, it invokes self-actualization. And I say this because when we learn to forgive, we start to realize that we are not our life situation. We're actually something more than that. For instance, I'll just give it from a different angle of vision. Everyone knows that giving in charity or giving in general is something that is laudatory, that is considered a virtue. In fact, when I was writing my book, there was a study that I read about interviews that were done with thousands of students, and they asked, is it better to give or receive? And almost 95% of them said, better to give than receive. It's kind of cliche, everybody knows it, right? And when you give, oftentimes there's this little feeling inside where, well, if I give this, then I won't have it anymore. Like if somebody asks you to give in charity some of your money, hard-earned money, and then you're thinking, should I give? Shouldn't I give? And then you give. And then what's the first thing you notice when you actually go ahead and do it? You let it go. What do you notice first thing? Feel lighter. Any other emotions? Maybe you feel bigger, but the first thing I always notice is I'm still alive. Like, hey, I survived, because my ego is telling me if you give this up, then how will you survive? You'll never make it. But you realize actually I'm in an abundant world, and I give up some resource. It wasn't mine anyway. It would have been taken. It's actually preemptive giving. I'm giving it away before someone else takes it from me. And when I do that, I actually feel myself as a bigger person. I grow. I self-actualize. I realize that I'm not the thing that I just gave away. I was only holding on to it. It's similar in forgiveness. When I have resentment and I have anger, and I learn to let it go, I let it go just like a something that is not valuable. It's no longer useful to me, and I realize that it's something that's detrimental to my life, and I practice letting it go. When I do, then I start to realize that there's a hierarchy in my system, and that there's a lower self and a higher self. And I start to become more aware of my higher self, that I can make more just decisions, more reasonable decisions than perhaps the lower self, which can become filled up with anger or resentment, can make. So there's a meditation about letting go. Would you like to try it? Okay. So everyone, please sit up a little straight in your chair. And we can dim the lights just for a minute. It might ruin the broadcast. It's okay, because you can close your eyes. Just close your eyes and relax. And now, concentrate on your breathing. And when you take a nice exhalation, you can say in your mind, so you can focus on your breath, you can say out. Internally, just say it to yourself. And when you take a nice, deep, natural breath in, then say in. And when your mind wanders somewhere else, then just bring it back gently to your breath. And feel that you're centered. And relax. Be fully in the moment and nowhere else. Now I want you to imagine that you're in a beautiful wilderness area. Temperature of the air is perfect. You're feeling relaxed and happy. And you sit on a very comfortable piece of grass on the meadow. And you're looking down into a canyon. It's a beautiful blue sky, a couple of white clouds. The sun is touching your body. You have no particular place to go. You're looking up into the sky, and you see a hawk. He's carrying a piece of food up into the air, happy to go home, feed his family. And then suddenly, two bigger hawks swoop in, and they grab him from both sides, and they say, give up the food or die. And suddenly the smaller hawk drops the food and flies away, and the two bigger birds go after the meat, but the smaller bird flies away free. I want you to just take a second and look and see if you can remember any resentment towards someone that might have developed over time. If you can look at it and see that it's a particular kind of energy that you as a container are holding within yourself. And now imagine that you're like that little bird. You're carrying that resentment around. And remember the example of the bird. He was given the choice, drop it or die. Now just see what it feels like to let it go. Even if you feel like you need to keep it, you can get it back later. But for now, see what it feels like. Just let it go. Goes flying out of your purview, you no longer see it anymore, deep into the canyon, and you're free to fly away. Now bring your concentration back to your breath. Notice that you're alive. If you can rub your palms together, create a little bit of heat. Place them over your eyes and put your hands about 6 inches in front of your face and open your eyes, look into your hands, see the lines there. You haven't looked there for a while. And then slowly come back into the room. Well, thank you for going on that journey. This story was from an ancient wisdom text about a great sage who lived in the forest by himself. And one day, when the king happened to be crossing the wilderness with his retinue, he ran into this sage and began to talk to him. And he found that he was a highly elevated person. He said, "How did you get like this?" And he said, "I have many teachers here." And the king looked around and said, "I don't see any teachers at all." He said, no, there's the mountain and the tree. And then he pointed to 24 natural elements. And he said, "These are informing me how I can reform and better myself." And one of the natural phenomena that he pointed to was the karari hawk. And he was the one who carried that meat up in the air. It was assailed by two bigger hawks. And from watching that one scene, he learned that sometimes you just have to let things go. Why carry it? Why bring it into your own life, into your own house, into your own container of your heart, which is the center of all our activities? So it sounds like a simple lesson, but it's very profound if we can learn to let go of certain things. Just let them fall away and realize I'm still whole, I'm still alive, and now I have more capacity. So when I talk about forgiveness invokes self-actualization, this is practical. It's something that you can do all the time. In fact, I'll give you a little homework. Would you like some homework? You love homework. Okay, it's fun. It's fun homework. So if you drive in a car, either you're the driver or the passenger. Do any of you drive in cars? Okay, California, it's pretty normal. New York, I just came from New York. A lot more people take public transportation. So let's say you're driving and somebody does something that irks you, that makes you a little angry or resentful. Is that possible? Okay, everyone's laughing. Oh, take it as a yes. So let's just say it happened. Like someone who laughed, what is the thing that bothers you the most? What would you say if somebody does on the road? What is it? Rash driving. Yeah, like be specific. What kind of rash driving? What do they do? Oh, I hate that. Change the lane without giving any signal. It's dangerous. It can be very beyond annoying. And I always found in the little bubble of our car, when we don't know or see whoever the other person that's driving, it's really easy for that impulse to come up. It's going, wah! So now here's the homework in forgiveness. I wouldn't suggest this if I don't practice it myself, and I have witnesses. Especially my wife, she'll tell you I do this all the time. If somebody cuts the lane or does something rash, then as soon as it happens and that feeling is about to come up, I go like this. I forgive you. So now I want you to try that. When I say three, everyone raise your hand and say, I forgive you. One, two, three. I forgive you. Now, the miracle of that is that in the moment that you're doing it, your lower self is going to be saying, hey, don't do that. We need to hang on to this. But that's dangerous. And I'll tell you a story that this is true. This happened up on Skyline Boulevard 25 years ago. There was a man driving a pickup truck. He was coming down Skyline and another man on a motorcycle. And one way or another, they got into an altercation, which we've all admitted is possible when you're driving on the road. Now, back and forth, they were exchanging harsh looks and who knows what other gestures they were making. But then the man in the pickup truck suddenly jerked his wheel. It hit the man on the motorcycle who flew off and died. And this was a big deal because the person driving the pickup truck was an upstanding citizen. He had no criminal record. He had children at home. He was gainfully employed. And according to all his friends, he was normally a very nice person. But in that one second, his lower self overcame his higher reasoning power, and he just jerked the wheel, and his life was altered forever. You actually really feel compassion for him in that situation. I mean, we can maybe even imagine for ourselves situations we've been in when we made a bad decision, and then all of a sudden we realize, I shouldn't have done that, and now my life has changed, my reputation has changed, everything has changed. So this is the power of learning forgiveness, is to avoid these kinds of situations. And it's also a situation in which we may, when somebody else offends us, we may learn to be more forgiving, because we realize that everybody makes mistakes. It's not a matter of if we're going to make a mistake. It's a matter of when we'll make a mistake. And so having that kind of compassion ready for others when they offend us, when they trespass in our space, is very helpful to us, not just for self-actualization, but very practically. And the homework I gave you, when you do this, you'll notice that if you do the action of forgiving, then the rest of the reasoning follows behind it. And it's like, oh, this is why I'm doing it, and you feel much better. And if anybody's watching you, they'll go, wow, where did you learn that? I learned it at Intel. So, yes. Self-actualization? Well, the context in which I'm mentioning it is that there is a hierarchy. We have a lower self and a higher self. This is according to the wisdom literatures. I grew up as a monk, at least in my since when I was 16 until I was 30, and I lived in a monastery, and I studied many wisdom literatures and practiced the tenets of meditation and things like that. And in that context, there's a sense in which we have impulses in the senses. The senses do as they please unless they're trained in a certain way. And then above the senses is the mind, which is kind of the place where we collect all the impulses that come from the outside world. And then there's the intellect, or the intelligence, that sorts them out and says, this one's good and this one's not good. Discrimination, or I should say, we make deliberate decisions after we deliberate. If we have proper information from our higher self, our intellect and so forth, then when we're in a situation, we can overcome the lower self by the higher self. And realizing that there is a hierarchy is the sense in which I mean self-actualization. It's very much pertinent to the idea of forgiveness. Because without a higher sense of like compassion and forgiveness and realizing the benefits of that, then there's no reason to forgive. It's a very tangible thing, but it's subtle. I may need another clicker. Either that, or you have to unplug the... There it is. So when we say, now, if you can repeat this word, content. Content is a state of peaceful happiness. And now, content. Now, the things that we hold. So say this one. Now this one. This one. See, it's the same word. And this is what I discovered. And so our content, the things we hold on to, will determine our level of contentment, how content we are as collectors of things in the world will depend on which ones we hold on to. So we are containers. This is one of the principal points that I wanted to make today. Remember, and we get to decide what we keep inside ourselves. That's the formula. Our content equals our contentment, what we decide to keep. So forgiveness myths and traps. One of them is that forgiving means condoning. Just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean you condone what they did. So oftentimes people feel that if I forgive the person, that means I'm saying that it was okay what they did. Not necessarily true. It's for you. It's for us that we forgive and let it go. Second is that they don't deserve it. Now, if I do that one, I say they don't deserve it, then I paint myself into a corner, because then how will I ever come to the point of forgiving the person? And third trap is not until he or she apologizes. Now what I've done is give away my power. It's my decision whether I'm going to forgive or not forgive. But if I leave it up to them, they might not even know they did something wrong, right? Or they may have no intention of apologizing. So now I'll have to, if I stand on this, then I'll have to keep that resentment within me. So these are things that are commonly used to hold on to resentment and not forgive somebody. Some of these are classics. So the myth, forgiving equals condoning, is that really it's our choice to let them go. And it doesn't mean that we also don't follow up if somebody has done something to warrant due process. That may go on. That's not mutually exclusive from forgiving. We may also forgive at the same time, even as we're going through the process of rectification. And the trap, they don't deserve it, puts us in the powerless condition, as does not until he or she apologizes. So here's some of the keys to forgiving. But before I go into them, I want to take a few reflections from what we've talked about so far. Reflections are easier than questions because all they are is points that you heard so far that stuck in your mind. Anything that seemed to cling to you that you felt like you could take out of here or that might be useful or is something that you saw in a new light. Yes.
Comfort.
We have over 100 people online, so we'll be making sure we there. Great, thank you.
I used to think comfort food is a great stress reliever, comfort but I food. Think this is a new thing I learned today that let go or forgiveness makes you not be revengeful and stay focused in something. What's the right thing to do? What's good for your career, for your family? So I think diverting anger into reacting, but it's good to just stay where you want to go, your desires and whatever happy life. And
yeah, and there's only so much comfort food you can eat in one day. Thank you for that point. Reflections. Just reflect back anything that you heard, any concept that stuck with you, any of the images that you saw. Yeah. Here comes the mic.
My key takeaway is always listen to your higher self than your lower self.
Yes. Self, actually. And that's a practice to develop that higher self over the lower self. Thank you. Very helpful.
I have something to add to the forgiveness you explained.
Yes.
Which is that I think with forgiveness also we need to add forgetting it. Because if we don't forget, then kind of we are saying that, okay, you know what, I forgave you, so kind of I'm superior. So forgive and forget. I think these two need to go together for it to work well.
Yes. In one of his seminars, my colleague who presents on talks about forgiving a lot, says there are certain circumstances that you might want to forget. There's also some severe circumstances that you might want to remember. So the two aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. According to him, sometimes somebody will actually cause some major trauma, and we may have put ourselves into a vulnerable situation. So in those cases, he recommends not forgetting, but forgiving at the same time. So your point is very well taken, and at the same time, there may be certain exceptions at certain times.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yes.
I like the one you mentioned when you squeeze a fruit, yeah. What's inside comes out. So I can relate the anger and resentment coming out when you are stressed. But my question is, actually it's a question. My question is, so under stress, what should come out?
Yes, well, if I've prepared myself ahead of time, like we did that meditation together, and I always notice if I start my day in that way, it gives me an advantage the rest of the day. I have that millisecond of buffer zone to now. I'm carrying it with me. So when something happens, the lower self's about to react. And then because I've done that meditation, not necessarily that one, but because I've really been introspective and taken a moment to center myself and realize that I actually exist and that I have a conscious choice to do things or not do things, then when it happens, I have the wherewithal to not react or overreact in a certain way. I can reserve myself. So it takes a bit of practice to do that. So it's highly recommended that we practice doing this and being ready for these kinds of circumstances. Like when I gave you that homework, you're really going to notice this because it'll happen. Something like that will happen. And then you'll remember the class and you go, should I do it? Should I actually do this? And then you'll go, okay, I forgive you. And then you'll feel like, wow, that really made a difference. So being ready, and that's why we're having this time together to talk about this. It's an important topic. It actually makes you more productive. It makes you more effective in everything that you do, and it makes you happier. So after having this time together, when you go away with this a few of these ideas, you'll see you're ready for it, and it's there within you. So we have a choice of what kind of content we put in every day also. And if you just put in the 24-hour news cycle without any discrimination, then, you know, when someone says something, you may feel a little bit out of sorts because when we hear about all kinds of events we can't do anything about, we might start to feel exasperated and a little bit overwhelmed and so forth. But when you get in touch with yourself and you feel that I'm self-determining and I get to choose what kind of reactions I have to the things that are happening in the world, you feel a lot more confident about yourself and also compassionate towards other people, a lot more forgiving to the kinds of trespasses that they may make towards me. Okay, so I'll go ahead because there's a few more points to make here that are practical, and then we'll take a few more reflections, okay? So here are some of the keys. Now, here's a section from Nelson Mandela. I think I'll read the whole dialogue that I believe is in your handout on the second page. And I found this to be demonstrative of the whole idea of practicing forgiveness. So here on the second page under practicing forgiveness, there's a dialogue. Bill Clinton and Nelson Mandela were friends, so they're speaking together. So Bill Clinton says to Nelson Mandela, "Tell me the truth. When you were leaving prison after 27 years and walking down that road to freedom, did you hate them all over again?" Nelson Mandela, "Absolutely. I did because they'd imprisoned me for so long. I was abused. I didn't get to see my children grow up. I lost my marriage and the best years of my life. I was angry and afraid because I had not been free in so long. But as I got closer to the car that would take me away, I realized that when I went through that gate, if I still hated them, then they would still have me. I wanted to be free, and so I let it go." So this is the idea behind forgiving, is that it's for us and that we can make that choice to be free by forgiving. So one of the points about forgiving is that it's a process. There's a way to forgive, and there's also a way to be forgiven. And both are equally difficult because we're dealing with sensitive topics that may deal with our egos. And so in the process of forgiving, there are several elements that are important. I'll go over them briefly. One of them is when you're, going to beg forgiveness from somebody. Say, let's say I've offended somebody. So I'm going to ask for forgiveness. First thing is to show some appreciation for them and be very specific about the appreciation that you show for them. The next is to recognize what you did wrong. So a non-apology is something we hear all the time nowadays when people say, "I'm really sorry that you felt like that when I did this thing." That's not an apology. Apology means to figure out what it was that specifically offended the person and tell them. If you give something generic, it doesn't have any effect at all. But if you tell specifically what it was that you know offended them, then this will have the effect. The next is to offer some remedy. Like, this is what I can do to rectify our relationship and the situation. And the fourth is to change your behavior. Don't do it again. And also go back and offer to give some assistance to the person. These are four steps. Appreciate, recognize, remedy. Show some, the third one is to be remorseful. Show a little bit of remorse, because there is a way in which it's easy to justify what I've done to somebody else. If I offend somebody, it's like, well, they deserved it anyway. Or any number of ways that I can say that it's okay because I'm older than them, they should have known, or I know better. Whatever it is, give up those kinds of things and unconditionally feel a little bit of remorse for that. So I'm pointing this out because there are certain steps that one can take very practically to get forgiveness from somebody else. And when somebody comes to us and asks for forgiveness, we also have to recognize that it's very difficult for them to come forward and ask for forgiveness. So we have to be careful and help them go through the process. Another point about forgiving is that the sooner that you start, the less painful it is. Don't hold it for a long time. Anybody ever hold a grudge? You know what a grudge is? I brought a picture. That's a little grudge. And some people carry them under their arms. The secret to this is very much like the meditation we went into. You take the grudge out to the wilderness and let him go. Let him go off. Don't carry the grudge around, because it'll make your life miserable. Another way of remembering when somebody has wronged us is to remember our life is really like a drama. And whatever happened to me was one scene in that drama. I can move on from that. It's not my entire life. I'll let it move. The other, as I've been mentioning throughout this, is self-actualization. Reconnect to your higher self. Have the power to look down at the lower self and say, this is irrational behavior. I don't need to hold on to it. The other is, Wayne Dyer gives this idea of be like water. This is another a teaching from nature. Water is so flexible, whatever you put in front of it, it learns to go around it and adapt to the situation. And there's so much that we have to adapt to in our lives, because things are constantly changing. So if we're fluid, we can move around them. And take responsibility. When we actually admit whatever kind of responsibility we have for the situation, then we tend to be able to come to terms with it a lot more quickly. And the other is be kind instead of right. You don't have to be right about everything. It's much easier oftentimes, unless it's a situation where it's very much necessary to develop the principle for others, to let things go and just be kind to people rather than having to be right. And then, as a matter of integrity, when, for instance, people come to us to ask for forgiveness, or we're thinking about forgiving others, I might consider that how much do I expect forgiveness from other people? And to that degree, we should also expect to be forgiven. Forgive as much as we ourselves expect to be forgiven. How much do you expect to be forgiven in your lives, would you say? Like 1 out of 10 times, or would you prefer 5 out of 10? 10 out of 10? So then you can apply that to other people too. Forgive them 10 out of 10 times. That's integrity. If I expect it, I should give it to others also. And also that remembering that time heals all wounds. Not that we don't do anything about it. We do go through the process of forgiving. But remember, it's going to move on. Things move on. People heal over time. And also, in the way that we appreciate others, their qualities also increase. Voltaire once said, those things that we appreciate about others become ours also. It opens our heart to them. So finding out what is the good in other people and seeing their good qualities, sorting them out from the bad ones, tends to make them increase. So those who are forgiving and who learn how to let go of the petty things in life tend to have a very prominent and exalted life message. So it's something that we can stop and look at. What is my life message? What is the way in which I am interacting with other people, telling the world about my life message and my mission? And that's something that we can think about and arrange. And now we have time for a few more questions and reflections. Anything that you heard that stuck? Yes.
So there's a contrast between the guy you meet in the street and they run in front of you and then you don't see them ever, and then the people that you see them every day. How do you forgive things that are bothering you constantly every day, multiple times? How do you go about that? You forgive it today, then an hour later it comes back up, and then you forgive it, and it kind of becomes...
So you're talking about maybe you're living with somebody who's a constant offender, who's rubbing us the wrong way, and it's not like you can move out or something, something like that. Yeah, I mentioned earlier, just because we're forgiving doesn't mean we don't go through the due process. So one way that I've found that is highly effective for dealing with chronic situations is to practice what's called nonviolent communication. This is actually a science. There are books written about it. Nonviolent communication is a way of telling people of the ways in which you're feeling offended by them without ascribing any intention. That's where it really gets sticky. If you try to analyze what people's intention were, you meant to do this to me. It was your will. You wanted to really bother me. That's when the situation becomes overheated normally. So in nonviolent communication, which you can read up on, you would talk to the people who are chronic offenders and tell them very clearly what it is about your relationship and the things that they're doing that's disturbing you, and telling you why it's disturbing without saying that you meant to do it, but just telling how it's making you feel. And when you bring it to the light of consciousness and very straightforward communication, but without ascribing intention, you'll find that very often there's a remedy in that. So that's a very practical thing, and you can look it up. There's books about it, but I highly recommend it. It's a very important way in which to develop. It's a talent that you can develop, a skill that you use in many different walks of life, including in the corporate world. It's very powerful. Yes, thank you. Reflection means anything that you heard that stuck in a question. Yes, online we have questions.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So online we had a reflection that did come in earlier on. It's drinking poison and waiting for the enemy to die really drove home the point that anger harms yourself and more than anybody else.
Yes.
And the other end of the spectrum, actually, somebody noted very well that by forgiving in the moment and combining that with that physical action, I think referring to the driving in the car, we allowed a real immediate cause of the negative energy and the release of it. So there was less self-harm. So there were nice 2 points.
Yeah, thank you very much for whoever sent that in. And I'd also mention that in forgiving, there's also the environment changes. Oftentimes when I don't forgive, when I feel offended by somebody in the moment, if something that I could actually really let go, no due process is needed, then they change also. Oftentimes people are hoping for a little confrontation at least. And when it's not there and you're doing it deliberately, that is, you're centered, you feel integrity because you're ready for that, and somebody does something that's provoking and you don't respond, they notice it and they recalibrate how they're treating you oftentimes. So it will make a difference in your overall environment. And again, it also doesn't mean that you become a doormat and that everywhere you go, anything anybody does to you, you just don't respond. No, you may respond methodically but dispassionately, in the sense that you don't want to hold on to the emotion. You go through it in a very efficient way in that way. What else?
We do have a question online. Yeah. It says, how would you forget I think it refers to the pain of the memory that still remains after forgiving.
Well, oftentimes when we bring it to the light of consciousness and we analyze the situation, for instance, one of the ways in which I don't forget is because I think of the perpetrator as out to get me. But if I'm able to analyze the situation in a different way and see that oftentimes people are, they act in certain ways because of the way in which they've been acted upon in their lives. It's very well known that people who are abused when they're kids end up being abusers. There's this vicious cycle, and many people are, I mean, practically everybody's caught in that to one degree or another. So if I'm able to deliberate and look at things from a higher level, then over time I may be able to let it go and look at the world from a more existential point of view. That can help with forgetting.
Are there questions in the room?
I had a question about the asking for forgiveness acronym that you have up there. I feel that forgiveness comes in two parts. There's asking for forgiveness, and then of course there's forgiving. And so if you kind of draw a square where you choose on the y-axis to forgive or not to forgive, and along the x-axis you have been asked for forgiveness or you have not, on the worst end of the spectrum, nobody gave you an apology and you've chosen not to forgive. And on the best side, you have been given an apology and you're choosing to forgive, which I think is maybe one of the easier types of forgiveness circumstances. The question I have is about the situations in which you are not offered an apology and you are trying to forgive. I feel like the simple act of stating that I've forgiven the person doesn't necessarily mean that I've gone through that process. So do you have any more advice on kind of how to handle those situations?
Well, one of the ways in which some experts have talked about it is that it may be helpful to make the other person aware of the fact that you feel that they've been that you were wronged by them, and it also helps to have a third party that comes along to help both sides. And you don't know until you try, but if you do go and you delve into it and find out the reason why the person's not offering an apology, sometimes it can diffuse the situation, because you might find that the person wasn't even aware of it sincerely. And that's why they didn't apologize. They didn't know that they did something that offended you. That happens a lot, because I assume a lot of things. Let's just say in an everyday circumstance, I'm walking down the hallway and a colleague doesn't look at me. And then I think, oh, he hates me. You know, I mean, Stephen Covey tells this story about how he goes, it's not Stephen Covey, it's another author, but he talks about the man goes to the mall. He sees his best friend come out of a store. The best friend looks at him, turns away, and walks away. And then this person's thinking, oh, he hates me. And then he all week long he's thinking, well, I hate him too. And now when he meets him at somebody else's house, and he says, all right, listen, I know you hate me. And by the way, I hate you too. But I just want to know why it is you hate me so much. And he said, what are you talking about? We're best friends. And he says, well, I saw you at the mall. He said, when? Last Friday. He said, okay. And he said, you saw me. I saw you. You walked away. And then he said, no, I was at the eye doctor. They put drops in my eyes. I couldn't see anything. I had called my wife to take me home. I was blind. I didn't see you. But all that time, I was thinking that the person owed me an apology and so forth. And there's this loop that takes place. really the light of consciousness through communication, and especially if you can bring a neutral third party to help, you know, between, oftentimes that brings it to light. And even if the person is resentful towards you or did do something on purpose, once you identify it and you make it clear that you understand, and you know, even though the person's not offering apology, you can still choose to let it go. But it's always our choice. And the more that we deal with it, actually, rather than just stuffing it and having it be beneath the surface, the more free we are to move on with whatever else we need to do. Is that helpful? Okay, thank you. What a nice question. Really nicely framed, too. It gave me a lot of ideas, the X and Y axis and things like that. It's good.
Any further questions? Okay. So thank you so much. We've hit the top of the hour right now. So thank you to Vaisheshika Dasa. So if we can show our appreciation, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We thank his... for coming here, for his time, because believe it or not, he does really travel the world. So we are getting parts of the time when he's in our area, and so we're very thankful for that. With that in mind, what we'd like to get is some feedback. It comes in a couple of ways. The online on the meetup is great to hear, because then we can say, here's the kind of content, continue with the same series, content, cadence, you know, because we are all volunteers and we all do have other jobs, so it's great to know what you would all like. Secondly, if anybody would like to give a testimonial online today, that would be great, but that's up to you, okay? And then finally, we do have some snacks. We have some coconut, dessert type things, and another one is almond and dates. So please help yourselves, and feel free to talk to any one of the volunteers if you'd like to help or have further suggestions right now even. But thank you so much, and thank you to Vaisheshika Dasa. And bye, everyone online.
Thank you.